We had a great weekend last weekend. We went up to Branson and with a number of other people and from the congregation and enjoyed that a great deal. It's our first trip up there We've never been there for the feast, and we've been through there, but so I guess it's our first trip there, period, to stay there for a while. Anyway, we enjoyed it. We're worried a little bit about the weather, but God held the worst of it off, and so it sprinkled on us a little bit and only rained seriously when we were in Sabbath services or watching the fun show or the dance, so that was all indoors. Anyway, it was a great weekend. Enjoyed a lot of good food and got to meet some new people and enjoyed fellowshipping and especially enjoyed hearing from a number of the ministers in the church. And I think we attended about 7 hours between my wife and myself. Attended about 7 hours of either seminars or sermonettes and so forth. So that was pretty good. It's always good to hear the truth preached. And so that brings me to the subject of this sermonette. And I know the subject of the truth is pretty big, especially for a sermonette. So I'll just talk a little bit about one aspect of it. And that's the truth makes us free. The truth makes us free. Truth is a special thing, isn't it? I remember when God first started calling me, and it was a difficult thing to walk away from my family at age, I guess, 19 or 20, and realizing that we're not going to have real close contact after that, real close association, and we don't. We still visit my sister occasionally, who lives up in Illinois, and we can talk for a lot of things and reminisce about old times, but we don't talk about religion. So there's still a little bit of a thorn in their flesh over my religion. Anyway, it's the truth, as I see it, and it's worth a great deal. It's worth more than the pearl of great price, I guess you might say, or it is the pearl of great price. And how is it that the truth will set you free, though? We live in a society when the truth is not something that's greatly appreciated, depending upon whether you go and buy a used car or from some individual or a dealership, or you listen to the presidential debates and so forth, you're not likely to hear just the truth. We're living in a world that's like that, and so that kind of hardens us a little bit. But we know that the truth will set us free. So if you'll turn to John chapter 8, because Christ said that, that's why we know it. John 8, in verse 31, Christ was talking to some of the Jews who believed in him. And after all of his many miracles and things that he did, there were a number of people who believed in him, right up until close to the end for him. In verse 31 of chapter 8, book of John, Gospel of John, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word," and that's another key, so we have to do what he says, live the truth as well as know it, "you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth." So if we live the truth, we abide in his word, do what he says, follow him, do our best to follow him, then we're going to come to know the truth, aren't we? "And the truth shall make you free." Now, in this world, it certainly doesn't seem like that. It seems like there's a great broad way of going. Basically, you can do whatever you decide is right, and that gives you a great deal of freedom, doesn't it? In God's way, on the other hand, seems at times to be perhaps a very narrow and restrictive way, maybe even a burden at some times. But that isn't the case according to what Jesus said. Well, there is a being that tries to influence God's people to think that way and has done a very good job of influencing all the world to think that way. And if you'll read down in verse 44, Christ explains who that is. And he's talking to some of the Jews who wanted to kill him here and now. And he says, "You're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." he was a murderer from the beginning. Satan is the one that influenced Cain when there was no TV, no radios, no violent movies to go see. He was the one that influenced Cain to kill his brother out of jealousy. So he was a murderer from the beginning, Christ said. And he does not stand in the truth. That's another thing about Satan. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so he was the father. He's the one who invented lying. The first lie came from his mouth. And he lied, of course, to Eve in the Garden of Eden. A couple of big lies he told her in a very subtle way. So she believed him. She was deceived, as is almost all of humanity. Only those who God chose and whose minds he has opened and whose spirit he's placed in him are not deceived by Satan. But anyway, Eve was deceived, and so she told Satan that she shouldn't eat of one of the trees in the garden. He asked her first, "Boy, you know, can't you eat of all the trees here? They all look nice and so forth." She said, "Well, there's one in the middle of the garden that we shouldn't eat from. Because if we eat from, then we'll die. That's what God says." And so Satan told her a big lie. He said, "Well, you won't. You won't surely die." However, it was a very subtle lie because she did eat from that tree and she didn't immediately die, did she? Not for probably 900 years or so. So it was kind of a delayed death, you might say. But God was the one who spoke the truth and Satan the lie. And another, even worse lie he told her, and he said that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll know the difference between good and evil. See, be like God, and you'll know the difference between good and evil. And so humanity has bought into that ever since, and people think that they can determine in their own minds the difference between good and evil, when in reality, we have to depend upon God to tell us that. The Word of God is the foundation of all knowledge, right? We have to go to God's Word and hear the truth preached to understand the difference between good and evil. God's Spirit in us helps us to understand that. One of the main areas of misinformation in this world, deception and lies, is in the area of religion. If you stop and think about it, that's the big thing, isn't it? There are many religions in the world, conflicting ideas, false beliefs, and so forth. For example, the Hindus, which is a major religion, in India, teach that cow is sacred. And although India has as many cattle as the United States, they also have people who are starving to death because they don't have food to eat. They won't eat a cow because that's sacred. And Islamic people, you find that some of them are very, very hostile to people in the Western world, right? They're willing to kill us and kill themselves. Islamic people and Christians fought many years ago in an era called the Crusades, when the Christians went down into that area and fought against Islamic people. The Bible says that that's destined to happen again between the king of the north and the king of the south. And what about the Jewish religion? You would think that they would have all the truth, but they deny the Christ, deny that he was the Messiah, and so they're waiting for the Messiah to return the first time to this earth. And professing Christianity is perhaps as the most deceptive of all. With all the pagan ideas and doctrines mixed in, and yet they call it Christianity and following the true Christ. And so it's very deceptive. And even in God's church, I remember a few years ago, a man gave a sermon and said that we were holy people, and if we met on a Wednesday, that day would be holy. Right? I don't know if you remember that or not. But and I recall that very vividly, and I think I'm just paraphrasing the words, but at any rate, it made me think of the story of Moses and the burning bush, where God said, the ground that you're standing on now is holy ground. It wasn't before, it was before Moses got there, right? It was because of God's presence. And so that's what makes a place or a time holy, is because of God's presence. God's presence in us through the Holy Spirit makes us holy. If we have the Holy Spirit, we won't want to meet on Wednesday as a Sabbath day, unless it is a holy day. But at any rate, what is the source of truth then? Reading on in John chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to Thomas, one of the disciples, who was having some question about some of the things Christ was saying, he said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. Christ was the truth. He was the Word of God. And so we have the Bible, which is the written Word of God. Christ was God in the flesh here, and said, I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So that's a good indication right there that none of the religions except those who profess Christ are going to have access to the Father, right? With the name of Christ, every knee will bow eventually. So we know that God's truth can be found through what Christ said, through the Word of God, and as it's expounded by God's true ministers. But how does knowing that set us free? How are we set free by knowing that, by doing that? Well, I'll take an example of the Sabbath day. And as I said earlier, was a time when I didn't understand about the Sabbath day. And I thought Sunday was the right day to worship God. That's what all my friends did. And we lived in a rural area, so there were no Jews around, no Seventh-day Adventists. And everybody that I knew went to church on Sunday, if they went to church at all. So that seemed like it was the right thing to do. But God began to open my mind, and I began to understand that seventh day of the week was Sabbath day, the one God created, the one that He made holy. And so I began to understand that the Protestant arguments about keeping Sunday were wrong, that the resurrection wasn't on Sunday, that Sunday was not the Lord's day that John talked about in the book of Revelation, and that the New Testament church kept the Sabbath day and not Sunday. So when I began to understand those things, it gave me a great more peace of mind, a great deal more peace of mind, and a great deal more freedom in my mind to obey God, knowing that when I was keeping the Sabbath day, I was pleasing God, whereas Sunday was not the day that He had set aside for worship. And so that's one way that knowing the truth and doing it can set us free. Another way is more obvious, and that's one of the commandments also, the seventh commandment about adultery. And this country seems to have a major problem with that at this time. I think the children of Israel have had problems with that down through the years, from time to time, worse problems than perhaps the surrounding nations. And right now is one of those times. But, if you just stop and think about it, and all that commandment means, all types of wrong sexual practices, adultery is one of the two things that leads to divorces, or one of the two major things that leads to divorce. And so there's a lot of harm in that, a lot of harm in divorce. I've come to see that since both of our daughters gotten divorced in their lives. A lot of harm, a lot of emotional hurt, a lot of hurt to the children, and it's even financial hurt, financial harm there. And adultery can lead to all sorts of physical problems too, to physical illnesses or diseases, you might say. And so if we know the truth about just that one thing, if the whole world did, and they will in God's kingdom, think what a great difference that's going to make in the stability of the homes and the happiness of the children, in freedom from disease and better financial condition and so forth and so on. So the truth is precious, isn't it? And if we know it and if we do it, it can set us free. Those are just two minor examples of a lot of the truth, not only the Ten Commandments, but all of God's Word. And if we know the truth, it will set us free, even in this age.